Blog Talk Radio.
Service for you, Plan. We're going to
we're gonna do a brief sermon titled "Our Great God," and we're also gonna do a Bible study from Luke chapter 10. Amen. Alrighty, so let's get into a prayer. Lord God, we come to you to burden and driven by every kind of need and oppression. But you will bring light into every situation. In your great goodness and faithfulness, you will continue to help. So we come to you because you are our help. We want to draw strength from your word so that we can remain steadfast in these times, awaiting your help, and already finding joy and certainty in our expectation. For your kingdom is coming, and your will is being done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All righty. Well, okay, I'm going to play some music here. All righty. Okay, here we go. It's going to be a song by Kirk Franklin called "Wanna Be Happy." And "I'm Yours" by KCJ, and then another great song by Kirk Franklin titled "Love Theory." Here we go.
The truth can hurt you, or the truth can change you. What will truth do to you?
I just wanna be happy. But if I keep on doing the things that keep on bringing me pain, there's no one else I can blame if I'm not happy. Wasted time, but now I can see the biggest enemy, it was me. So I'm not happy. Cry yourself to sleep. Shout and raise your hands. It won't change a thing just till you understand.
brothers and sisters. I want to welcome you back to life. Back to the one that can make your next chapter your best chapter. Hallelujah.
Performers from Israel and around the world came to begin their year-long celebration. The city is hailed as the gathering spot of saints and prophets. It is seen as a sacred place for pilgrims and their prayers. The Wailing Wall is filled with prayers written on pieces of paper and then stuck between the cracks of the stones. For believers, it is God's city, a place filled with divine history, where our Savior taught and where he was crucified. It is filled with signs and symbols of the holy and reminder that it was here God dwelt among his people in the temple that Solomon built. While Jerusalem was a small fortress city for hundreds of years, because it's surrounded by valleys on three sides, it was not until 1000 BC when King David captured it to make the capital of Israel did the city take on any significance. The reason that it was insignificant was because no trade routes went by it, or didn't sit high on some hill or next to an ocean or large river. Yet because of its central location, it was the ideal site for David to make it his capital city and unite the nation together, even though it was on a small 12-acre plot of land. The city of David became the first capital of the nation. It was to the city David brought the Ark of the Covenant and set up a temporary place of worship where the Ark would be kept. Later, his son Solomon would build a large, beautiful temple just north of the city, which was dedicated in 950 B.C. This temple became the center and focus of the worship until it was destroyed by the Nebuchadnezzar in 586 B.C. Although we didn't know the specific historical background to the psalm, it seems there must have been some specific event where God miraculously delivered the city and the people who are rejoicing over his divine intervention for them. The battle has been won and the victor has returned to his place. The theme of Psalms 48 is God reigns over his holy city. Protection of the city and the presence of God. The deliverance by God had caused them to acknowledge that he dwelled in the city with them. The city was beautiful because the Ark of the Covenant, the sign of God's presence, was there. David Ben-Gurion, Israel's first prime minister, served from 1948 to 1963, said, "Without Jerusalem, we are a body without a soul. Without God's presence, the city of Jerusalem would have been just another city. It was God's presence that made this city special. It was the presence of God that saved them, not their fortress. God showed himself to be one who delivered them, not the presence of stone walls." John Calvin, although they dwell in strongholds, they must nevertheless be carefully on their guard that this magnificence or loftiness may not shroud or conceal from their view the power of God, and that they be not like the worldly men who, resting satisfied with earthly means of help, set no value whatever upon having God for their guardian and protector. We tend to think that our physical abilities, personal cleverness, or intellectual knowledge rescue us from the problems we face. But the truth is that we cannot save ourselves. Our hope is in the Lord, our Creator and Sustainer. It may have been with the Moabites and the Ammonites together planned to attack Jerusalem in 850 B.C. God turned them against each one another, so they destroyed themselves. The soldiers returned to Jerusalem and went to the temple and worshiped the Lord because of his great victory. This attack could have been with the Assyrian army attacked Jerusalem in 712 B.C., where the angel of the Lord went and killed 185 soldiers one night. Those who attacked Jerusalem were so stunned and terrified by what God did that they abandoned their attack. God destroyed them like ships that are broken apart by the wind and the storm. From the forefathers, they had heard the wonders that God had done for his people in delivering them from their enemies. What we learn about God, who God is by hearing what he has done for other people in the past. That is why it is important for you to read your Bibles so you will know what God has done. Not only had they heard, but they had personally witnessed the power of God and seen his deliverance themselves. Besides knowing the past, they now had personal experience on which to base their faith in God. It takes both hearing the Word of God and experiencing God's work in your own life for your faith to grow strong. Your faith cannot just be based on what God did in the lives of other people, and it cannot just be based on what God has done in your own life. John Newton wrote a hymn describing God's protection. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. He whose word cannot be broken formed thee from his own abode. On a rock of ages founded, what can shake thy sure response? While salvation walls surrounded, thou mayst smile at all foes. Praise of God. The praise and recognition that their victory was completely based on God's love and goodness in them, not because of anything they had done to deserve it. They paused to reflect on God's great love for them. When God does something wonderful in my life, do I stop to think about what he did that and what his love means to me? The people are invited to walk through a city, which was about 80 acres, or a half mile wide, a half mile long, so they could see for themselves the towers and fortifications that had been preserved. They are to then tell the children the great victory God gave. The greatest result of the experience is not the result of the number of towers that the city has, but that God has defended the city in time of crisis, and therefore will can depend upon him for the rest of our life in any circumstances we face. Towers, watchtowers to look over our enemy's shoulders, ramparts, a bulwark for a wall built for defense, citadels, highest towers that look over the city. The psalm is not praising of the city because it's so great, rather it is praising the fact that God dwells in the city. John Calvin, when the people here declare that God will continue unchangeably steadfast to his purpose, their object to encourage and strengthen themselves to persevere a continued course of faith. Guide to help lead the way. Psalm 23:2, he leads me beside still waters. Psalm 78:52, God led out his people like sheep and guided them into the wilderness like a flock. So God will direct the course of our life, the highs and lows, through the good and the bad, through the blessing and the sufferings. In other words, they would trust God as long as they had given them the life. In Genesis 50:25, Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely visit you here in Egypt, and he shall carry out my bones from here. Egypt to the promised land. Joseph had lived in Egypt for 93 years, but he had not forgotten it was not the land of his birth or his real home, which was Canaan. He wanted to be buried there in the land God had promised him. So today we will live in a society where people want to do their own thing. The fellowship with a group of believers for a while then, because they lose interest or something happens and they drop out. The result is that their spiritual life goes down the tubes. God wants us to be faithful and walk with him throughout our whole life, all the way to the end, when it takes us home. So make a commitment to daily personal devotions to growing our faith, weekly worship with other believers, and regularly follow fellowship with other believers. People tend to drop out during transition in their life, such as leaving home, getting married, or moving to a new city. John Aguirre from Tanzania ran the marathon in the 1968 Olympics in Mexico City. He was injured along the way, and so he hobbled into the stadium over an hour after the last runner had crossed the finish line. No last place finisher in a marathon ever finished quite so last. Most of the spectators were gone, the stadium was closed, and crews were preparing for the closing ceremony when he gathered himself for a final effort and sprinted across the finish line. One of the workers picked up a torn finishing tape and held it across the track so he could break it as he finished the race. When Bud Greenspan, the official filmmaker of the games, asked the world expert why he put himself through such pain. He replied, "Mr. Greenspan, my country did not send me 7,000 miles to start the race. They sent me to finish it." So we don't begin our Christian life with God and then finish it ourselves. God wants us to walk faithfully with him throughout our whole life and all the way to the end. So in conclusion, "To Him Be Still My Soul" was written by Catherine von Schlegel during a revival moment in Germany in the 1700s. "Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order, provide, in every change he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend, to thorny ways lead a joyful end. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. I hope thy confidence let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul. The waves and winds still know his voice, who rules them while he's well below." So be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on one we shall forever with the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, lost prayers, joy is restored. Be still, my soul. When chains and tears are past, all safe and blessed, we shall meet at last. So God promises contentment when we put our faith in him. Isaiah 30:15, "In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." Amen. And I hope you got something from today's sermon. Amen. Now we're going to move along into the Bible study. And it's Luke chapter 10. And in Luke chapter 10, it's about love. Is there anything more important to God than love? Based on the teachings of the Bible, the answer is no. Nothing is more important to God than love. Consider the following exchange between Jesus and our Lord as recorded in the Gospel of Luke. In Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 28, "And the Lord stood up and put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? How does it read to you? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." So Jesus responded to the Lord's question about how to inherit eternal life with love. Love for God and love for each other. There is a similar exchange in the book of Matthew where Jesus was asked, "And what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Was Jesus responded in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 to 40, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." In these two scriptures, Jesus tells us that love is necessary for salvation and that love is the most important thing to God. This should not come as a surprise. After all, God is love. So let's talk about loving God with all our heart and soul and mind. As Christians, we need to understand what it means to love God. According to the scriptures, loving God is all about keeping his commandments. That is what Jesus taught in the following scripture, in John chapter 14, verse 15. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Pretty straightforward, right? We show our love for God and for Jesus by keeping our commandments. Of course, to keep Jesus' commandments, we need to understand what those commandments are, and the only way to do that is to read the Bible. There is a common misconception among some people that says that if we do what we think is right, then we will always be pleasing to God. That is erroneously putting our thoughts ahead of God's thoughts, and we can get into big trouble when we do that. So consider the following scripture from the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. "There is a way which seems to be to a man, but it's the end is the way of death." So once we read the scripture, we can no longer accept that following our gut is how we please God. There are things that God commands us to do that sometimes will not make sense to us or what we do not want to do. We need to do them anyway. That is how we show our love for God. True faith is believing and trusting in God in all things, not just when it's convenient for us to do so. So loving our neighbor as ourselves. As we think about the commandment to love our neighbor as ourselves, we need to first ask ourselves, who is my neighbor? Quite simply, our neighbor is anybody that we meet. God brings people into our lives for a reason. Sometimes it's for a reason that may not ever understand. Once they are in our lives, however, our job is to love them. One of the things that we need to understand is that Jesus did not simply say, you shall love your neighbor. Instead, Jesus said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So adding the word yourself to the end of the command is significant. God wants us to love ourselves. He wants us to love ourselves even if we have done things in the past that we're not proud of. The Apostle Paul certainly understood this. Earlier in his life, Paul persecuted and arrested the very Christians that he spent the rest of his life serving so selfishly. Paul said in his first letter to Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 15, verses 15 and 16, in his trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am, foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who believe in him for eternal life. So let us conclude. The two greatest commandments in the Bible are, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That's Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. And in Matthew 22, verse 38, love your neighbor as yourself. The way we show our love for God is by keeping his commandments. To do this, we need to study the Bible regularly so that we understand what God commands us to do. We cannot simply trust our own feelings about what is right. We are not God. To please him, we need to learn what he wants us to do and then do it. To love our neighbors, we need to take time to get to know them and then put their spiritual needs ahead of our own. We need to help them find Jesus. We learn today's lesson with the following scripture that speaks of the amazing love that our Father and our Son have for us. And that's John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Amen. Amen. Anyway, well, I hope you got something from today's Bible study about love. Amen. And if you're out there and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior tonight, you've got a chance to do so right now. Just say this prayer after me. Say, dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I am a sinner, and I am so sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived, and I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross at Calvary and died for my sins, and I am now willing to turn for my sin. You said in your holy word in Romans 10:9 that if we confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now I confess Jesus as Lord of my soul. With my heart I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, and according to his word, right now I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I also thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leads to license, but rather always leads to repentance. So therefore, Lord Jesus, please transform my life so I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not to myself. So I want to say thank you once more, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you said that prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministry would like to welcome you into the family of God. We'd like to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. And if you said that prayer, we would like you to call in to area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that's area code 657-383-1487. Press that one key, and I will bring you on so you can tell the world that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ tonight to be your Lord and Savior. Amen. All right, we got some callers here. 111. All right, callers here.
Hello, Pastor. I don't know if you pay attention to the chat. My heart is heavy tonight. Jack Forsyth has pointed out that this Joseph Gibson fellow tried to use your show to promote himself, and that can't be right. That cannot be right. I would like you to address this issue and rebuke such crass commercialism in your show.
Well, I don't know anything about Joe Gibson. I don't really listen to his show anymore. I used to listen to it a long time ago. It got to be too politically incorrect, okay? If Joe Gibson is listening, God bless you. I don't know what's going on, how Joseph Gibson is using the show. I don't know. I like I said, I'm not
following. Well, he's trying to promote himself. Isn't that a kind of a sin, isn't it?
No, not really. Joe Gibson has a show on Blog Talk. Maybe he's promoting a show.
But, I mean, we're here to discuss theological matters, are we not?
Well, yeah, but Joe Gibson talks about theological matters.
I'm not sure about that. I listen sometimes to his political takes, but he's no pastor like you are, and I think he's distracting from the message of the show by even showing up and saying such things as to listen to his show.
Okay, well, you know, I bless everybody, and everybody's welcome to listen to the show. If he has a personal agenda, God bless him. Okay.
If that's the case, Pastor, can I promote a bake sale that I'll be having in 3 weeks?
Sure.
Well, all right, you've heard it here first. Everyone, just start promoting whatever you like. I guess this is what the show has become. I'm sorry to hear that, Pastor. I truly am.
Okay, well, like I said, I'm not here to judge anybody. I wish everybody well, okay?
All right.
One, so can you do me a favor and douse yourself with some liquid kerosene or something?
Nah.
It'll make the fire go much faster.
Nah, I'm not into fire.
But you said you support Joe Gibson.
I didn't say I support him. I said that everybody has the right, okay, to believe what they want to believe, and everybody has the right to say what they want to say. Okay, that's just Joe Gibson, okay? I'm not saying that what he says is right. I'm not saying what he says is wrong, okay?
Okay.
I'm just saying,
well, can you douse yourself with some charcoal fluid?
No.
I don't want you to suffer.
Well, I'm not going to suffer because I'm not going to burn myself.
Well, no, I'll burn you, but I want you to go fast because that's what Joe said to do.
No.
Were you calling him a liar then?
Well, I'm just saying, I don't think Joe meant that literally.
No, he did. And let's make a concession to burn Tony S. Is that fair?
Okay, let's take another call here. 111, you're on air.
Hello. I am glad you said everybody's voice and opinion matters.
Yes,
this is Reverend Rabbi Dr. Pastor Attorney Porno Infiltrator and Amateur Stunt Triple Double Baker Butcher Enthusiast Amarillo My Morning Kent Douglas Abernathy Esquire Hopper MDS DDS Esquire, how are you, my son?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am doing fantastic, but don't hate me because I'm beautiful, Kenny.
Okay.
So, Kenny, why do you hate your own kind?
I don't hate my own kind.
Kenny, do you think it is okay, like my last flock member said, that homosexualists burn themselves?
No.
So why would you support that man?
I don't support anybody, okay?
You know, that amongst from my many qualities of being an advisor and a reverend and a pastor, I am also an armchair astronaut, a comfort food connoisseur, keyboard warrior, smile distributor, emoji translator, daydreaming expert, part-time pirate, professional procrastinator, king and queen of unpopular opinions, diplomat to Mars, novice ninja, chief of unicorn division, amateur witch wizard, memory maker, Netflix ninja, laughter therapist, hangover engineer, unlicensed therapist, tard wrangler, stunt cock, race car driver, Olympic rugby player, high diver, Amway salesman, artificial grass landscaper. And landscaper to the rich and famous as well.
All right.
Do you hate me because of who I am?
No, I don't hate you. I don't hate anybody.
Are you jealous that I have a big and enormous penis cock?
No, no.
Think it is important for a man to have a penis such as big as mine, Kenny?
I really don't know.
Do you envy my penis, Kenny?
No, I do not.
Do you know that penis envy is a real thing, Kenny?
It could be, but it's not for me.
Kenny, there is a thing as penis envy. You can Google it.
Okay. All right. Let's take another call here. 111. You're on the air. Oh. Okay. All right. 111. You're on the air.
Oh, Kenny. How you doing, brother?
Hey, my brother DZ2. How are you doing tonight?
I'm all right, man. I was, I have to admit, I was taken back by job list, man. Did I hear that correctly? That Kent is a stunt cock?
that's what he says.
Is he still on the line, Kenny? I'd like to ask him a question about that profession.
Yeah, he's on the line.
Kent, are you there, brother?
Maybe he hung up.
Oh, no. Kent, if you're around, could you call back? I have a question about the adult film industry and stunt cocks. I don't know a lot about it. I find it interesting, though, that there's actually stand-ins, if you will. I would also like to say that I find it very disrespectful that you had a show with Kent and he left you again holding the bag. I don't know what that man is wrong with that man, but you invited him on your platform and to only do a few shows, very disrespectful, Kenny. I don't have a lot of positive things to say about Kent, and I don't even understand what he's doing. Is he doing a new show? Is that what's going on?
Oh, he's going to go back to do Father's House with Pastor Leroy again.
Oh, that show that, like, no one listened to?
Yeah, that one, and one had no callers, nobody in the chat, because he had no chat. That one.
I will never understand those two people's need to do a show and pay money to do a show that no one listens to. And
I know, it's sad, isn't it?
As a man of the Lord, allegedly, if I was Kent, wouldn't it make more sense to go on a show with way more listeners so he could preach the word of God to more people? Instead of just him and his fake black friend circle jerking each other for two hours, I mean, talking about 70s movies and shit. I don't understand that. That's not a godly man.
Well, yeah, I gave him the opportunity to come back on the air with me, okay? Because I thought we could do some good, you know? And
amen.
I wasn't charging him to be on here. I wasn't asking him to pay half the Blog Talk bill. I simply said I would pay the bill. All you have to do is show up, okay, and preach.
Amen. And that's because you're a godly man. You're a godly man trying to bring another godly man with you on your mission. And I respect that. I don't understand why he would rather preach the gospel to no people as opposed to, you know, hundreds or thousands of people that come across this podcast. I don't get it, but it just proves my
point. I don't get it either. Maybe it's just thought of him having his own show, okay, even though nobody listens to it. I don't know.
Yeah, well, Kenny, you know what it is, brother. It's very simple. It's that on that show or whatever you want to call it, no one challenges his ideas. I mean, basically, Leroy's like a fluffer. You know what I mean? He fluffs them up, gets them hard, and they just, you know, pump each other for 2 hours. You know, nobody ever – he doesn't allow callers, so no one can ever challenge his ideas. To me, any person that doesn't like to have their ideas challenged is arrogant because nobody's perfect. And, you know, everything, especially in the Bible, you can discern things differently. So people have different opinions about different passages of the Bible. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, man, I'm just glad you're still doing the show and you didn't let him leave and get you down. I was hoping Grover would call in. I would like to speak to Grover. I don't know if he's in the queue or if anyone is in the queue, but I'm hoping that Grover does call in, Kenny. Is there any other callers?
Yes, I've got 3 more callers. I'll take them to see if Grover.
Amen.
Okay. Hang on, DZ2.
All right, brother.
One. You're on there.
Kenny, you cut me off.
Yes.
But I'm an Amway salesman, Avon Lady.
Oh.
Scholar of sleep deprivation, Mary Kay salesman, pachyderm gynecologist, rambling researcher, procrastinating pupil, binge reader, assignments assassin, deadline destroyer, textbook tamer, freshman philosopher, sophomore sorcerer, junior juggler, senior sleep specialist, homework hero, bachelor of binge watching, master of multitasking, postgraduate procrastinator, and I have a PhD in partying, amongst many, many other doctrines, Kenny.
Okay, good. DZ2 has a question to ask you about being a stunt cop.
Kenny.
Yeah, man. Brother Hopper, I was listening to your list earlier. And I was taken back because you have many, many jobs and also, you know, sports affiliations, if you will. But the thing that struck me was stunt cock. And I was just wondering, how does that work is my first question. Is one man doing the business, then you come in and you just give it a hammer? How does that work? And then also my second question, brother, is there any movies that I might have seen you in? Like I heard one called Canadian Bacon, and a few other names. I wanted to see if you were in any of those films.
Amen, my son. So you see, nowadays they're looking for the younger generation, but what they do is they televise my huge penis.
Oh.
As a stunt cock. I've even filled in for a horse donkey once. You will find my work in movies such as Forrest Gump. Also, you heard of the movie Debbie Does Dallas. Well,
oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a classic, brother.
Well, there was a movie sequel, and it was called Dominguez Does Kenny.
Oh!
And when Dominguez would get tired, they would use my horse talk to fill in for the reenactments.
Is that true, Kenny? You took all... Wait, you
no.
took a horse cock and Kent?
No, not true.
Kenny, that would definitely wreck your asshole, Kenny. That's I actually, one other question, Kent. Were you in a film, what was the name of that film? Oh, a Womb Raider. Were you in Womb Raider?
Well, my son, I was not, but my penis was.
Oh. White Men Can't Hump. That's another classic. I really enjoyed that one. Were you in that one?
Yes, my son.
Oh.
And at times, I believe Kenny's Kenus Anus Rectum was the receptacle cum bucket that caught all my man jam penis mango.
What? Well, you know, I mean, Kenneth did hide banjo in his rectum, so he's got a lot of room in there for ejaculate. Kenneth, do you have any other callers, brother?
Yes, I do, and I didn't have banjo in my rectum. Okay, one more.
You went to the vet, Kenneth.
Hey, Moonbats, why aren't you watching my YouTube video? Don't you want to see me shrimp? Yeah.
That's wrong.
It's me, Joseph Gibson. Yes, Stu Nages.
Amen.
Moonbat.
That is.
Hello. Hello,
Joey.
And I just want to say that I got a bigger cock than you, and I want you to come to Gold's Gym and have a cockfight. And I'll make bacon out of you dumb Canadian moonbat.
I tell you right now, motherfucker, listen here. I'll smack you upside the head with DC3 like I did your woman in the fucking subway. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm gonna hang you from the tree.
Oh,
dumb,
oh really?
You stupid nair. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even need my hands to beat. Listen here, Joey. I don't even need my hands to beat you. I can just beat you upside the head with my dick and you'll be dead. And that big ass fucking head of yours and all the methamphetamine you do. You know you got methamphetamine on your YouTube channel?
Well,
that's what I thought, Joey. You a stuttering motherfucker. Joey, shut up. You can't talk. You a retarded motherfucker, Joey. Ken, you got any other callers, man?
Is that?
Yeah, I do, actually. 111, you're on there. Oh, they hung up.
Hello. I am calling from Israel. I am the school for Kent. He says he is going to do the super advanced program and you are going to pay for it.
No, I'm not going to pay for it.
No, your ministry will.
No, my ministry is not going to pay for it.
Yes, he says that he is the best student. We need $20,000 now. Well, he signed over your house on our dash, so we'll take it.
No. I don't own my house.
Well, then leave. We must get it.
All right. Goodbye. 111, you're on air.
Oh, hi. Wanted to say hello to DC and Kent, I heard Joe was on, and I wanted to tear him up, but I heard, DC, you really got him. That was great.
Joey is a very, very small man, and he's also retarded. So when you have that combination along with methamphetamine, it's not very hard to break a motherfucker down. But I appreciate you giving me credit, and I'm glad to hear your voice. Amen.
Yep. Yeah,
Kenny, do you have any other callers? Because Grover told me he was calling in. That's why I initially called. The motherfucker ain't called yet.
Yeah, I'm taking a message. I'm in. 111, you're on there.
And it's Grover Washington's phone.
Oh, there he is. What's up, Grover?
Hey, Grover.
I'm just playing Asteroids right now.
Oh.
And Atari.
You got a TV and an Atari at the homeless shelter?
Yeah, the homeless shelter's got one of these Ataris. We got Pitfall, Asteroids, Missile Command. We got a lot of good games on there.
They got Pong?
They got Pong. They also got a selection of movies that I like to check out. There's Pop Balls.
Is anyone else having trouble here in Grover?
No, I'm having trouble.
Oh, yeah, I can't really.
Oh, you guys can hear him all right?
I put the phone down when I was playing Asteroids, and I forgot that I need to pick it back up again. Hello?
Amen, brother. So what were those movies? I might have seen a few of them. Maybe I need to check some of them out.
Oh, well, it's got Edward Penis Hands.
Oh.
Ace Ventura, Crack Detective.
That sounds very gay. Very gay.
Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Balls. In Rearpendence Day, Legally Boned, and the Texas Vibrator Massacre.
Kenny was in that.
Oh, my.
Yeah, that one's in San Antonio, Texas.
All Dash Lane, baby. Anal Bash on All Dash. Right, Kenny?
I don't know.
I saw a movie once called Ocean's 11 Inches, and I actually was going to try out for the second sequel, Ocean's 13 Inches. But it was in L.A. And I was going through a divorce, so I couldn't do it.
The movie called Edward Penis Hands, that actually starred Ferrara in it, because one of the characters had the HIV, and he got it from sleeping with too many men as a gay prostitute.
Lord have mercy. Kenny, have you ever heard of a movie called Homo Alone? I was told that was about you, Kenny.
I heard of Homo Alone, but not Homo Alone.
What about Breast Side Story? When you're a jet, you're a jet all the way from the first cigarette to your last dying day. Remember that?
All right. One, you're on here.
Yes. This is Pedro. I work for Joseph Gibson Landscaping Company 2 years, and I can't stand him no more. He make me cut the grass, no shirt on, it's very cold, and at the end of the day, I have to mow lawns all day and come home and trim his pubes. And he wore Donald Trump hat while we trim his pubes and shoot the cum loads. And he told us, this is what I think of Mexicans. They stick frozen burrito up his asshole, shit it out. That's what he think of Mexicans. He say we going to be turned into ice, or we can't do nothing. What should we do, Kenny?
Sounds like Joe. Does sound like him, though.
Kenny,
I think
you
should set him on fire.
Oh, okay, we put gas can on Joey, set him on fire. He abused Noah anyway, shitting and dryer. I don't care if we go back to Mexico. Got to go. Bye-bye.
I got a movie named Schindler's.
Hello,
Schindler.
My friend. How you do?
All right, how are you?
I'm right here on Eagles Pass. I need you to come and pick me up. Hello.
Who is this?
Kenny, this is Luis. You ordered somebody from Grindr.
This is Luis.
Oh.
Luis, yeah, I come from the bar. They told me Pastor Ken from God's Rainbow Ministries could host me for at least 2 weeks with board and room and food.
No, that's not true. I can't do that.
Biden, you vote for Biden, so Biden said that you do.
No, can't do.
No, okay. You have anybody else online?
Nobody else calling in at the moment.
Because my sister Juanita's gonna call in, my brother Chencho, and my other brother named Juanito. They're gonna call in because for some reason here in Eagles Pass, they're saying that God's Rainbow Ministries is gonna host people to stay over.
Yeah, it's not true.
Because we heard of the times when you had the R-Dash Bash.
No R-Dash Bash here.
Oh, I was expecting the glory hole.
He's had it before, but that's around Christmas time for the homeless.
Oh, I missed it, man. Oh, man. I heard about that. Are you Grover?
Yeah, this is Grover. I want to ask him a question.
You're a legend. You're a legend here in Mexico.
Yeah, I was in Mexico for a while. I was mule and drugs, but I got out of that business because it's too dangerous with the cartels.
I know, man. One of them had me dress up as a little tipo, and I was like, no, you can't touch me in my pijo, you know.
Well, they never did that to me.
But yeah, you're a legend here in Mexico. And we heard about the Haven for Christmas, about Pastor Ken.
Yeah, that's in San Antonio. You can come up here.
Oh, maybe Haven for Hope can host us.
We're kind of full right now. You might want to just go over to Ken's.
Okay. No, room.
I will go find my way over there. I'm not going to say the address because every time address is shown, you delete the show. So we know where to go. Adios.
Just look up R-Dash Lane, and there's a Nissan in the parking lot just looking for the car. The car's a Nissan.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I work for Airbnb, and that place on R-Dash is ready. So anytime anyone wants to join Ken and stay in his house, you can just send me a check, and you can stay with him.
All
right. I put your house on Airbnb.
All right. 111, you're on air.
Ken, I don't know why you hung up on me. I was just talking. What I do wrong?
Kenny, why'd you hang up on Grover, man? You picking up some of Kent's old habits, man. He don't like brothers.
That was an accident. Oh, man, I'm going to give a shout-out to Juan from Alabama and his kid boat, because I know they're listening like they always do.
No, they're not. Nope.
Kenny, why are you sitting on the show, man?
Yeah, make sure to put them jizz towels out for the guests at Airbnb.
Oh,
jizz
towels.
Okay, goodbye. 111, you're on air.
Hello.
111, you're on air.
Kenny,
why was I hung up on?
Kenny, you hanging up on everybody.
I didn't do anything, and I got hung up on.
It was an accident.
Fire. listening to those. So, yeah, and why don't you play the beanie? Play the beanie mixes. Why don't you play the beanie mixes?
Grover, what Grover? Why would you say that? You know that shit's 75 minutes long.
I want to hear when that's 72 minutes. Beanie mix, 72 minutes.
It's gotten longer than that. I think it goes by several hours now.
Oh, Jesus.
Kenny, did you pay for like 4 hours of blog talk so you could play Beanie's whole mix?
No.
I heard it was 72 hours.
I don't think there's a 72-hour option on blog talk, though.
There's only a 3-hour option.
That won't even get the whole. That won't even get the whole mixing. Kenny, don't shut it down, Kenny. There's still 10 minutes to go.
Yeah, I'm gonna shut it down. I'm shutting it down.
Wait, I got something I want to ask.
Kenny, are you ready?
Say goodnight, everybody. Have a wonderful night.
Ken, don't, you got tracks to run, Kenny.
Come on.
You run away like a bitch, Kenny. Don't run, Kenny.